The Public News Service Daily Newscast, October the 11th, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. Two court rulings in just a week over the controversial Texas abortion law have providers questioning how to proceed. More from our Ross Brown.
Last Tuesday, a federal judge temporarily blocked enforcement of the law. But on Friday, the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals allowed the near-total abortion ban, the strictest in the nation, to again be enforced. The law bans almost all abortions, even in cases of rape and incest. ACLU of Texas staff attorney Adrian Pinion believes the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision that protects a pregnant person's ability to choose to have an abortion without excessive government restriction should supersede the Texas law known as SB 8.
Every single lawsuit that is brought under SB 8 should be thrown out of the courthouse because the behavior that's being penalized is fully legal.
I'm Roz Brown.
A poll by Monmouth University in September found 62% of Americans say abortion should either always be legal or legal with some limitations. A shootout at a busy bar in St. Paul, Minnesota early Sunday left a woman dead and 14 other people wounded. That from Yahoo News. They report the shooting happened shortly after midnight at the 7th Street Truck Park Bar. Police say preliminary information indicated several people fired gunshots. Yahoo News reports police arrested three men who were being treated at a hospital for injuries from the shootout. All three will be booked in the Ramsey County Jail once they're discharged. Authorities are still investigating what led to the shootout. Teachers and volunteers in Broward County embarked on a unique canvassing campaign to find up to 11,000 students who either haven't reported to class or are chronically absent since the pandemic started.
Volunteers, including teachers, counselors, principals, and school board members, recently packed bags with resources and combed through neighborhoods in the Broward School District, going door to door to find why students are falling off the radar. Broward Teachers Union President Anna Fusco says with help from the American Federation of Teachers, their goal was simple, to get students back on campus.
It was successful because knocked on almost 9,000 doors, reached over 2,000 people to have conversations with. A few hundred have reconnected coming back to campus.
Fusco says coordinating the effort wasn't easy. Broward County Public Schools is the sixth largest school district in the nation, with 204,000 traditional public school students and about 260,000 students, including public charter schools. I'm Tremel Gomes.
This is PNS. So how do you fight an onslaught of misinformation surrounding the 2020 election? A University of Wisconsin communications professor says a good place to start is a heavy load of facts delivered through social media ad buys.
UW's Mike Wagner is part of a team that was awarded a grant from the National Science Foundation to find effective ways to combat online misinformation. The project involves identifying where falsehoods are proliferating, asking trusted journalists to fact-check those messages, and then countering with purchased social media ads containing verified details. Wagner says they hope to get those follow-up messages in the news feeds of people sharing bad info.
Our goal is to try to find those people who are exposed to that information and show them that there is verifiably accurate information that's different.
He says the mission centers around false claims about the integrity of last year's presidential vote, as well as misinformation related to COVID vaccines. I'm Mike Moen.
New York environmental groups are teaming up now to blend indigenous knowledge of land with Western scientific knowledge.
The Nature Conservancy donated $800,000 to support its four-year project with the SUNY ESF, Center for Native Peoples and the Environment. Assistant Director Neil Patterson Jr. is a citizen of the Tuscarora Nation. He says indigenous peoples' approach to the environment has been dismissed by some Western scientists. He's optimistic that it's now being acknowledged in local conservation efforts.
It's really amazing that larger society is looking at the care and sort of reciprocal responsibilities that indigenous people have with the natural world and figuring out that there are some answers in there for our current predicament.
I'm Michaela Savitt reporting.
And finally, on this Indigenous Peoples Day, Lily Bolke reports for Soundbite Source, the first native-owned and native-led land trust in Alaska is working to empower and equip Indigenous young people with the resources and training to start their own kelp farms.
Commercial fishing for salmon and other species has become more challenging and less profitable in South Central Alaska due to warming waters and climate change. Founded in 2003 by Dune Lankard, who is Eyak Athabascan and from the Copper River Delta and Prince William Sound, Lankard says the Native Conservancy works to support food sovereignty and Indigenous communities' efforts to protect and preserve endangered habitats on their ancestral homelands.
What I've realized over the years is that, you know, saving habitat wasn't enough, that we had to figure out how we were going to work that habitat and protect our subsistence way of life that's comparable to none.
He adds Indigenous people in the region harvested and dried kelp for generations.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for starting your week with Public News Service, member and listener supported, heard on interesting radio stations. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.